From the Land Grant University, Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of December 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the European Commission has put forth plans to curb speculation in the free market. An official at the United States CFTC has moved in the same direction, saying high-frequency trade needs to be more thoroughly monitored. And the legislation giving more authority over the U.S. food supply to the FDA, which is now mired in a constitutional battle, may be pulled from the mud by a year-end budget-setting bill. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then as we close out our half hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production, of course, of the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures from the soft red winter wheat pit were down a penny in the nearby December at $7.42. July at 8.06 and a quarter, up 3 cents. December corn futures in Chicago at 5.59 and a half, up 12 and a quarter. March at 5.74 and a half, 12 and three quarters higher. May corn at $5.83 a bushel, up 13 and a quarter. In July, 5.87 and a quarter, 13 cents higher. December futures, $5.33 and three quarters, up 9.5 cents. January soybeans today, $12.96, 10.5 cents higher. The March at $13.05, up 10 and three quarters. May beans, $13.09, 11 and a quarter higher. July at $13.10 and a half, up 10 and three quarters. And November soybeans on the day at $12, 12 and a half cents, up 12 and a half cents. December bean meal at $3.45.40, up $2.40. December oil at $53.80, up 41 cents on the afternoon. Livestock, December live cattle futures, 102.10, 17 and a half lower. The February there at 104.62 and a half, up 7 and a half cents. January feeders at 118.17 and a half, up 95 cents. And lean hogs at $68.80, 75 cents a hundredweight higher on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures on the day at $88.42 a barrel, down 27 cents. January ethanol at $2.07 of a cent, a penny and 4 cents higher. Natural gas at $4.59 up 20.5 cents. Heating oil at $2.46 4 cents, that's just about a half cent lower on the day. And the gold futures at $1,382.50, down $25.80 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 14 points higher at 11,373. The dollar at 79.99 is up 0.13. And the CRB index on the afternoon at 316.87 is 1.25 higher for the day. Here's what the weather forecast is calling for as it's looked at by the National Weather Service. They say the skies this afternoon should be sunny with a high near 22 degrees, northwest winds at about 7 miles an hour. And then tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 10 degrees, wind chill values between 3 and 8, calm winds becoming south-southeast at around 6 miles an hour. On Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 30. Wind chill 1 to 11 degrees, south winds between 7 and 15, gusting to 18, and then Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of around 25 degrees, south winds between 11 and 15, gusting to 18. By the time we get to Friday, skies will clear out. It'll be mostly sunny, a high of 38 degrees, west-south winds between 7 and 10 miles an hour, and Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 27. Saturday, rain or snow, likely. Cloudy, a high of 38, chance of precip 60% Saturday night. Snow likely, cloudy, blustery, the low then 24 degrees. And Sunday, a chance of snow, cloudy and blustery, a high near 26 degrees. And then on Sunday night, well, we'll get cloudy, it'll be blustery, and we'll drop all the way to a low of just about 5 degrees. More on the ag weather when we get to the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. We're joined now by phone from his office in Oakland, Illinois, at ADM Investor Service by Paul Cooley. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon and a nice tip of the hat on this cold, crisp afternoon.
It is a cold, crisp afternoon. We're going to warm up and then we're going to get colder again. And both times around, I think we're dipping cold, not only here in the Midwest, but all the way down into orange-growing country in Florida. What do you think?
Yeah, we did see orange juice, Todd, go up to 166, up 5.30, and 28 to 32 degrees. And that's cold enough for Orlando, Florida. And, of course, obviously the OJ market took note of it. I even had some customers from Florida that said, hey, the local people down here, should we buy orange juice? And I told them it was already up in price. But a couple things here. You know, a couple years ago, I asked John Davis and Thad Chapelio and Rick Shields and some of the other prominent weather people in the industry about, is it a lot easier today than 10 years ago about predicting low temperatures? And they said, oh, yes, Paul. It's like driving a modern car versus a Model T. But it used to have a big effect on in the hog market, the grain markets, and, you know, the diesel engines gel up, and we don't like to have empty hog houses and confinement with selling hogs in cold weather because of freezing pipes, river transportation and truck transportation, rail. And, of course, it used to have a big influence when rivers would freeze up and export basis levels would jump. And a lot of people in the southern part of Evansville and Memphis South and people like that would have an extra bit of beans ready to sell when those things take place. But I don't think we're going to get cold enough long enough for that, but it is having a chilling effect on the markets.
What do you see in the next week?
Well, I think as far as out as I go is, as they say, it's the 28 to 32 degrees, and I really haven't gone out and asked the weather guys how long that's going to continue. But two other areas that we are watching very closely, the private weather people did take the rainfall out of Argentina, and they also increased the rainfall in Australia. And as a result of that, we did see some good buying in the corn market and then soybeans. And some of the commodities of higher quality wheat, like Minneapolis and Kansas City wheat, you know, put in a pretty darn good performance. And that was on an opening that people were pretty nervous about, because we did see a major sell-off in gold, silver, crude oil, and also a strength in the dollar. So we call that in modern commodity trading good divergence in the marketplace, because fundamentals overrule some of the technicals and some of the weakness in some of the outside markets.
Cash market for corn has been strong, the bids, that is. Is basis going to continue to stay strong, and why is it so strong at this point?
Well, the farmers, the easy answer is the farmers harvested 30 days early, and the crop has been put to bed, and farmers have been aggressive sellers. And I think that we will see the industrial users of the corn sweeteners and the ethanol plants are probably running at full throttle. And as a result of that, we continue to see we'll see a basis improvement in time. And at some point in time, the marketplace feels that we will see some increased or export demand coming to the U.S., because some of that demand has been basically filled by South America, Argentina, and Brazil. And we do anticipate in time, maybe more in the springtime, of actually corn from the U.S. actually going into China.
What do you think will happen Friday morning when USDA comes out with its report?
Well, the think tank and Informa group feels 25 million bushels less carryover in soybeans conservatively, and the word underlined under conservative because I think at some point in time they think it could actually be 100 million carryover when it's all said and done. Probably an unchanged on corn and 5 to 10 million less on wheat. The bean thing, of course, is the dynamic duo as far as the actual carryover is concerned because the Chinese demand is so tremendous.
You don't think they'll change anything on the corn and carryover? They won't. They've already increased usage for ethanol.
The good thing is, of course, is the ethanol, and I think they probably will be conservative from what the Informa group said. They always paint that picture, what if, but I think they probably want to see more information, you know, as far as exports are concerned. I think that, you know, you bring up a good point, and I think Informa also mentioned the idea is that the door is open for better ethanol usage, maybe 25 million.
Can I come back to the cash grain business
Sure.
just a bit and corn? Will the bids continue to be strong? At what level do you think they might be able to pull corn out of farmers' hands prior to the new year, if at all? And at what level would you be willing to let that happen as a Paul Cooley farmer?
I think there would be some additional selling at $6. The trouble is that's a new plateau, and there's going to be a major reason that that would basically probably startle the cow herd and the run down LaSalle Street in Chicago if that would jump to $6 in here in the next 10 days to 2 weeks. But I think a couple things, it's going to be either the Argentine weather, sudden demand from China, or some other catalyst, for example, new demand coming in. Of course, we do know that Australia's got some major wheat problems, but it's going to take place in one of those areas. Could be some surprise buying out of Europe. But the main factor, of course, we're all looking at and thinking about is that the Chinese would actually come into the marketplace and buy large quantities of corn and soybeans and protect themselves.
Paul, thanks so much.
Have a profitable day and stay buttoned up.
All right, you too. Thanks much.
Have a good one.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
If you want to hear Paul again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org, or you can dial this phone number. It's 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's really just voicemail. I'll post it there about 3:15. You can get the updated numbers at the close and the open, 10:15 and 3:15 daily at 217-333-3434. Dave Dickey is here now. He's the Director of Ag Programming at WILL and has this update of the Ag News.
In agricultural news, the European Commission today presented new plans to clamp down on financial speculation, proposing tighter controls on everything from betting on the price of commodities to high-frequency trading. EU officials want to curb speculation in areas such as government bonds trading or commodities such as grain. As part of today's proposals, the Commission, the EU's executive, also launched a push to raise penalties across the region for financial crimes such as insider trading. Its proposals will need the backing of the European Parliament, as well as powerful EU member states such as Germany and France, and could become law in 2012. Meanwhile, a top official at the U.S. futures regulator says he supports tougher oversight of the high-frequency trading market, including measures that would require exchanges to review and monitor these computer programs. Bart Children, a commissioner at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, says that traders are responsible for high-frequency trades that damage the market and consumers should be held accountable. Food safety legislation stalled by a constitutional snag could be revised as part of a giant year-end budget bill. The bill to increase the Food and Drug Administration's powers to keep food safe stalled after overwhelmingly passing the Senate last week. House Democrats said after it passed that the bill contains fees that are considered tax provisions, which under the Constitution must originate in the House. House Democrats are attempting to fix the problem by adding the legislation to a catch-all spending bill unveiled today. Barge freight rates for shipping grain via river from the U.S. Midwest to export terminals at the Gulf of Mexico continued to climb this week as the supply of empty barges stayed tight and cold temperatures slowed the cleaning of vessels. Shipping costs have increased most significantly on the Illinois River, where barge freight increased 22% since last week. Pakistan decided yesterday to allow the private sector to export wheat, lifting a three-year ban after a bumper crop led to a surplus market. The Economic Coordination Committee of the Cabinet did not mention any limit on the quality of exports. The government banned wheat exports in 2007 because of shortages and high prices in the domestic market. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both programs that you can hear on our website at willag.org. Don't forget to sign up while you're there for our free weekend newsletters. And if you change email addresses to come back there and change your subscription by hitting Manage My Subscription. It's all on the willag.org website. Now up next, you know, it's the time of year when farmers are beginning to move out some of the corn harvested earlier this fall. I'll have a report on being careful with portable augers and overhead power lines.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The stats say about 60 farm workers will be electrocuted by accident this year. Most of them will be handling equipment, anything from a long ladder to a grain auger. The point of contact, says University of Illinois Extension farm safety specialist Bob Aharon, is normally an overhead power line.
The most common accident is we're moving a grain auger around bends, and we move it around and we get it caught in a power line. And either they're moving it by hand or moving it with a tractor or whatever, gets entangled in a power line. That somebody steps off the tractor and you become energized when that happens and be electrocuted. So it's important that we make sure that we're moving away from the power lines, we're lowering our equipment down if it's something that can be lowered like a grain auger. Another common accident is where we're trying to either raise a grain truck bed, maybe to take dew off of a tarp or something like that, or to unload it for some reason, and we're near an overhead power line. We always need to make sure if we raise something on a bed, or we load something up on a trailer or a truck, that we look where the overhead power lines are and make sure we're away from that when we're doing that kind of loading activity or raising a bed, because a number of our electrocutions occur from that activity alone, where we raise the bed of a truck or we load a tractor on top of a trailer or something and get it caught in the overhead power line. And then someone steps off the machine as soon as they touch ground. Once they are, their body touches ground, still touching equipment, they're going to be electrocuted.
Many types of farm equipment can come into contact with overhead power lines. Tractors with front-end loaders, portable grain augers, fold-up cultivators, and equipment with antennas easily can become an electrical hazard and must be operated with care. When contact is made, the operator sometimes safely gets off the machine. This can only happen if the overhead line is dead, or the operator does not touch the machine and the ground when exiting. Sometimes they make the mistake of feeling safe and return to the machine. It's a deadly mistake if the overhead power line is live. If your tractor comes in contact with overhead power lines, stay on the tractor. Ask someone to contact the local utility company immediately to remove the danger. If there's an emergency, like an electrical fire, and you need to leave the equipment, jump as far away from the equipment as possible. Do not allow any part of your body to touch the equipment and the ground at the same time. Once you get away from the equipment, never attempt to get back on or even touch that equipment. Many electrocutions occur when the operator dismounts and, realizing nothing has happened, tries to get back on the equipment. The best way to handle emergencies is by prevention. Respect electricity and avoid contact with overhead lines. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. A couple of reminders while I have you on the radio here. Don't forget that the Farm Income Summits, sponsored by the Farm Doc team, the folks in the Ag Econ department on this campus, coming up on next week. I'll be out on the road with them. If you can visit farmdoc.illinois.edu, you'll find out whether there's one in your neighborhood. I'd like to have you there. So check out the Farm Doc Ag Econ Summits across the state of Illinois. And then in the first and second week of January, the Corn and Soybean Classic returns, of course. You can check that out by hitting CropSci Conferences. That's all one word, CropSciConferences.com. And you can sign up for those. The earlier you sign up, the better the discount you might get. So that's the first and second week of January. The Farm Doc Income Series is next week across the state of Illinois. On the phone line is with us this afternoon from the great state of Indiana, not too awfully far from Purdue University in Delphi, at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons, is Scott Butcher to talk about the cash grain market. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Good. How are you, Todd?
Oh, I'm very, very well. I bet you've got really tight basis there. Is that right?
Yeah, things have tightened up considerably here in the last month or so. We've seen very little movement from the producer. December stuff that was sold ahead of time is moving right now, but not a lot of new cash movement.
You think they'll turn it loose, and how tight will things go?
Yeah, I think things will get tight here the rest of the month, especially around the holiday. We'll see some processors that maybe don't have coverage on will kind of scramble for corn and beans both as the holiday gets closer. But after the first of the year, I really think things will relax a little bit as normal January movement starts to take place.
And as you look out, is there any problem that you can foresee if, and at this point it looks like it probably will make it through Congress, but if the ethanol volumetric excise tax is not extended?
Yeah, I definitely think that that's a huge issue for our industry. I mean, we're obviously keeping an eye on it to see what does happen. I mean, I think that obviously changes the supply and demand picture quite a bit if there would be a significant change. Don't really see anything like that happening. I think it looks like maybe be extended. Maybe they do something with the actual amount that they give. But really, it looks like it'll probably just continue on for at least another year.
And very quickly, just the two nearbys, what are your bids?
Right now for corn, we are $5.72 and soybeans $12.81.
Thanks much, Scott.
Thanks, Todd.
Scott Butcher is with the Climbers facility at the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Back in 2 minutes.
It's National Brownie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1730, Jan Ingelhuis was born. A Dutch-born British physician and scientist, he discovered photosynthesis by identifying that sunlight gave green plants the ability to take in carbon dioxide, fix the carbon, and purify the air to the benefit of respiration of animals. In 1765, Eli Whitney was born, inventor of the cotton gin. He was more important to the development of the concept of mass-producing interchangeable parts. This he applied in the fulfillment of a 1797 U.S. government contract to supply muskets. Whitney manufactured these in standardized parts for reassembly, meaning that for the first time, worn parts could be replaced by spares rather than requiring special replacements to be made. In 1896, J.T. White was issued a patent for an improved lemon squeezer. Also in 1896, Ernest Engel died, a German statistician. He is known for Engel's Law, which states that the proportion of expenditure on food will fall as income rises, that food essentially is a necessary good. And in 1942, Albert Kahn died, a German-American industrial architect and planner. He is considered the father of modern factory design. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us today, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather. It's been cold. Looks like it's going to get snowy again, too.
Yeah, winter is really settling in. I think it's time to think about going somewhere overseas, in the tropics, perhaps. Because you can't go to Florida. It's pretty darn cold down there, too. The forecast does offer a snowstorm for the weekend coming up that will likely dump anywhere from 2 to 8 inches of snow across the heart of the Midwest, really coming out of parts of Missouri and maybe the southeast corner of Iowa into Ohio, maybe parts of southeast Michigan as well. It's kind of the area that where the greatest amount of snow will fall. And that snow is going to be very important, actually. I know it'll be a headache for travel across the region, but we need that snow on the ground to protect our winter wheat crop. It will get cold enough for sub-zero temperatures to possibly settle into portions of Illinois, the west and northern parts of the state, as well as northern parts of Missouri, when the coldest air finally settles in, which is probably going to occur as we get towards the late weekend and the first part of next week. During that period of time, I do fully expect to see some really impressive cold. In fact, the eastern or southeastern parts of the Midwest will probably see those temperatures fall into the single digits and a few lower teens for low temperatures in, again, places like Ohio and southern Indiana and Kentucky. So a really, really cold air mass coming up. Once we're done with that, at midweek next week, things will start to mellow out a little bit. We'll be stuck in the cool weather mode for a while, but not nearly as cold as what we'll have here at the first part of the week.
And turn your attention out west. How's the hard red winter wheat crop going to fare through the next week or in a half or so?
Well, it's interesting that the cold surge is coming up here for the weekend is actually going to sidestep most of the hard red wheat areas. We'll see cooler weather out there, but nothing that's going to be threatening to the crop, which is good news because they're still struggling in Kansas, or at least western Kansas and parts of Colorado. But for the most part, it's just going to be an ongoing bias for dryness in the soil and crops that are not all that well established, but they are dormant at this point, or at least moving in that direction. So we shouldn't see any more threat to the crop for a while.
Last week when we talked, you were concerned about the crop in South America, particularly in Argentina, but that not that it was going to get any worse or any drier. Have things changed at all for that crop?
Things have gotten worse in some parts of the country and a little better in others. The driest region seems to be in the area from southern Santiago del Estero and northern Cordoba into a portion of central Santa Fe. That little area is very, very rich sorghum and soybean country. And we do need substantial amounts of precipitation in that area. We are very short at the topsoil and short at the subsoil level, and the forecast does offer one opportunity for rain here, and that will occur this weekend. Probably Saturday will be the better day. Rain amounts aren't going to be all that impressive, up to a half-inch, a local three-quarter-inch amount. Somebody could get something greater, but it certainly isn't going to be the rule. And then we go dry all next week. The latest model data today at midday today did suggest that there would be another chance for rain in the second weekend of the two-week outlook, which would be like the 18th and 19th. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, depending on which side of the fence you want to be on, I suppose. But it's definitely dry, and they're not going to get enough rain out of this weekend event to fix them. So additional precipitation will very much be needed.
The Australian wheat crop very quickly?
boy, they still are limping along there. The one last wave of heavy rain coming across the region here today and tomorrow. And then we're going to be dry over the weekend and into early next week. But they just start to get dry enough to start some harvesting, and it rains again at the end of next week.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report.